Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Abington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and as usual, welcome to this edition of the War Report. Today's conversation is one that we sort of had pieces of throughout the last 3 years and 9 months. It deals with this continuing question of education. What is the purpose of education, the role of education, teachers, and the bigger picture of this thing that we call society, and more specifically, this notion of education and social change. Now, that's a real big picture topic. It's one that you could probably ask a million people and you would get, I won't say a million different answers, but you would get a lot of different answers in terms of education, social change, or more specifically, what role, if any, does education play in social change? Reversing that, social change and education, how does social change bring about a change in education, if any? So it's these kind of philosophical questions that you can ask in so many different ways and get different answers, get different reactions. But basically, that's what we've been doing for a long time here on the War Report. And sort of, as you can recall, back in September, I said that was the beginning of the new school year, and we were going to make sort of a pivot in terms of the issues and conversations that we're going to have here on the War Report. And principally, I started off with the most important issue, I think, of all is this thing called the purpose of education. Because if you can identify the purpose, understand what the purpose is supposed to be, then you can understand the goals, if they're manifest or latent. You can understand the methodology or the strategy. Everything emanates from the purpose. And so this thing that I'm talking about today in terms of can education and educators change society or not comes full circle over from what we've been doing the last 3 months, and also bits and pieces of what we've been doing the last 3 years and 9 months. And can you answer that question? You know, if you and I were having a face-to-face conversation, what would be your answer to education? Can education, can educators change society? Or just to make it that powerful, can they help in changing society? Can they play a role? Or, as I said, you flip the switch and say, what role, if any, does social change play in education and what educators do. You know, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to play word games, mind games. I'm trying to get you to get into that frame of mind that this is a fundamental question, basic question. It's going to relate to, I think, and again, this is my perspective, what you, I, anyone is going to think about education, what it's for, how it should be delivered, who should do it, and how, and the value, if any, of it, and all of those philosophical, if you want to call them, questions. So I want you to think about your answer. If this was a test, what would your answer be? You'll make an essay test. Not a yes, no, but an essay test, answering the question and giving your rationale for your answer. This has been a question, and maybe not in these exact words, for decades, if not hundreds of years, is this thing called, you know, education, and what is it good for? It is one of the intro songs to this show, Education. You know, what is it good for? That's where we are, and that's where we're heading. So, I have talked in the past about the school, and can the school help build a new social order? I talked about a guy by the name of George Count. He was a education philosopher, activist, teacher, kind of the time that Dewey was on the scene. He and Dewey differed in some respects in terms of the goals of education and or maybe the methodology, but they both were, quote, progressive educators, social progressive as it relates to education and the larger society. But Counts, he was more aggressive in that he specifically came out and posed a challenge. And I've covered this, especially in my first year, and referenced it periodically over the last 2 years and a half, the question of dare the schools build a new social order. And what he was saying was that the schools / teachers could and should play a major critical role in helping bring about social change. Social change in a manner, in a way that we would call positive social change. He was talking about the larger society. He wasn't talking about specifically or limiting his comments to social educational reform. How do we change, or should we change education, the structure of education, the curriculum, the pedagogy, the role of the teacher, the administrators, the role of government, and et cetera. He referenced those, but he was saying that there's a larger, larger role that schools and educators can play in helping bring about a better world. So even before him, in the early 1920s, you can go back to Francis Bacon, the late 1500s, I think like 1596 or something like this. He was prophesizing about education. He was talking about their then higher education, but it would have implications for kindergarten to 12th grade in today's world. You have Benjamin Franklin, you have Dewey, Jane Addams, you have presidents of University of Chicago in its development in the late 1800, 1896 or something like this, 92, 96. You have Columbia University's president. You have what would become the University of Pennsylvania that Benjamin Franklin founded. And coming forward, this question of education and, again, this larger question of can education / educators change society? I'm pausing because I really wish, you know, we were in a room together and we could have this conversation face to face, because the answer, I'm not giving you an answer right now, but the answer is you're going to find, as I said earlier, millions of people who would say educators can help change society. You'll find millions saying they can't and they shouldn't. That should not be their role. And in today's America, you know what, we have tens of millions of people who would support education and educators' efforts to change society, and we've got tens of millions of people on the other side saying, no, that's not the role of teachers, that's not the role of education, is to help bring about a change, unless it's going to be a change towards a more expansive system of what we already have in place in terms of the role of education in terms of maintaining the status quo, or if we're going to change education so that it has a religious foundation back like the first schools, colleges, universities, all sprung from a religious philosophy and a set of practices. Yes, education can change, should be changed, if we're going to adopt the old days format. So we can come at this from so many different perspectives. Just realized and was just informed that I was cut off some time ago, maybe a minute or two ago, and I don't know where I was cut off, so I don't know where I was at the time. But what I'm going to do now, having set this up, I'm going to try and go right into some ideas here about social change. First of all, when I say social change, what I mean, I'm going to do a general description of social change. So we're talking about the idea that individuals or society can change, maybe a slow process, a rapid process, but the notion that change is universal, the notion that we have to change in order to survive and perpetuate our survival, individually and as a group. When sociologists and we are the people who started a scientific study of social change, we were looking at what causes social change to come about on a large scale. Like, for example, the Industrial Revolution, like the example of the American Revolution, like the example of capitalism. What are the social, cultural, historical forces that produce those changes? How long did it take? Who are the individuals behind the push for these types of changes? Change is, I'm hesitating only because this is a big word, change is inevitable. Social change, to a great extent, is brought about through the process of education, be it formal education, informal education. And for our purposes, of course, we're going to be talking about the process of formal education. Start with the idea that education is an instrument of social change. It can be the most powerful instrument for social change. And the argument, and I'll make that a little later, so basically what I just told you is just, yes, education can be a major force in bringing about, sustaining, creating the conditions for and the need for change, social change. That's debatable. That's the point of view that I'm presenting today. That's the point of view that all my years of teaching, living, researching, and et cetera, I subscribe to this big principle that change is universal. We need change in order to survive on a long-term basis. Change, think of it as an adaptation to changing conditions. And just a little bit off topic for a moment, think about where we are now in terms of the climate brouhaha, that if we don't make change now, that we could be in the process of killing ourselves and the planet, climate change. This is a movement, a social change movement afoot that has got enormous consequences if we don't handle it properly. But that's the notion, again, of the universality of change and the idea that education here is an instrument for social change. Education, we're learning about the climate. Our meteorologists, the sciences, we're learning, they are becoming educated, and they in turn are educating us, the public, about the climate issues. That's education, folks. And what are they doing when they are putting out their reports, when they are appearing before a Congress or state legislatures or what the public? They're trying to do what the war report, that's a big statement, do what the war report tries to do, make you aware, make us aware, make you understand, make us have an emotional reaction to our awareness and our understanding, and those three helping individually and collectively mount a social movement to bring about social change as a movement. That's something that's happening right this moment all across the planet. The issue dealing with climate and climate change. Okay? Education, again, as an instrument for social change. It's the most powerful instrument for social change. And I'm going to go through some points of argument for that statement. When, and this is education now, that powerful instrument that can be used in this thing called social change. Through education, education can assist in changing attitudes. Education can help create the desire for change. It could help change one's disposition to adopt social change. Education helps us analyze the change, the situation, and the changes that need to be made. And that's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of can education help in this process of a thing that we call social change. Also, education can get individuals to become invested in the change. It can get the individuals, and when I say individual, I'm talking about groups as well. We're talking motivation. And you know motivation is primary in terms of what we do, how we do, why we do what we do. What's the motivation behind all of this? It can help us with our capacity to use our intelligence. It can help us to distinguish between right and wrong, positive, negative, and to also establish a certain ideal in terms of if we're going to make a change, this is what the ideal change should produce, what it should look like, what we're striving for. This is what education can do. I'm talking about education here as the curriculum, the pedagogy. I'm not talking about the educator yet. I'm just talking about this notion of education. So that when we're talking about education, the very first thing, it can get us invested in the notion of change. It can help shape our idea about what change is needed, what change should look like. And I say, that's just the beginning. It can help determine our values, which then, as you know, your values act as a set of criteria in your assessment for the need for change or the maintenance of the status quo. This is just the beginning in terms of what education role can be in social change. Not only what I just said, but it could also create a situation of urgency for change. You know, we want change, we want it yesterday. Now that we want this change, we want it yesterday. And we should have wanted it the day before yesterday. That's that urgency. And you can think of many examples in the field of education. And I'm talking here, when I say education, you already know that I'm talking about public education, not necessarily private or religious education. Although some of these things, of course, will apply. Education can both initiate, it can guide, it can help control movements for social change. And to some extent, you can kind of substitute the word for reform in education. Education can help agitate the public's opinion towards or against whatever change it is that's being proposed. Now, here it can go both ways, and you know this without me saying it. It can agitate for change, it can agitate for the status quo. Take our last national election. Education, by this I mean stuff that was being put out through the media, social media, you name it, both agitated for educating us, the public, to support, be in favor of, act forcefully, positively for one candidate versus another. And here's the reasons why. And the reasons why, of course, is the education component. The analysis here via education. Also, education, leadership. Education can provide leadership in social change. Think about this. The movements, social movements throughout this country and elsewhere. Most of those movements were ignited by, of course, the conditions in which people were seeking change, but they were ignited by educated, enlightened men and women who made conscious efforts to bring about social change. Basic education to fight the ills, for example, in education, the ills of mass illiteracy. Think about the movement to bring public education into existence. Before, as I've talked about in the past, in the earlier period of this country, only the elite, power, economic elite, had the means to hire individual tutors. They sometimes brought tutors from England to the colonies to educate their children. Most people didn't have an education. But they brought educated people to educate another generation so that they would be educated. This is what education in the form of leaders, leadership, Martin Luther King, the civil rights movement here, was a very well educated person. Mahatma Gandhi in India was a lawyer. Who became a activist. Not to say that the uneducated or the partially educated cannot become a leader, because we can cite so many examples of individuals and whole groups who didn't have, quote, formal education, didn't have the textbook education, but they had an education in terms of life, life history, life experience, and knew enough to bring those ills to the masses as something that needed to be changed. I'm saying the same thing maybe twice, but I'm trying to say is that education is what most of the leaders that we look at throughout history had in common, was this thing that we call education. Education is knowledge. If you go back and you look at or take a course in the history of education, what everyone is talking about, they reduce education to education is knowledge. We acquire this knowledge through formal means, informal means. Those means are educational in nature. Was it with Kip, knowledge is power? They're saying that knowledge is education. Education is knowledge. And so that when we talk about, again, education contributes to social change by bringing change in knowledge. I think you would agree with that, that education can help bring about social change or contributes to social change by bringing about change in knowledge. And today, we say knowledge is, or education should be based upon inquiry. Inquiry is another word for research, evidence-based. To get the evidence, you should know how to do the research, how to interpret it, but more importantly, how to frame your research question and develop the methodology to appropriately gather knowledge / information that's related to the question. I don't want to get off into details of that, but basically what I'm saying is that knowledge is education. Education is knowledge. Education also protects our values, our external and our internal values. It is through the promotion of knowledge and the acceptance of this knowledge that helps bring about social change. Let me say that maybe another way. We have our values, we have our virtues as a society, and most societies, we seek to perpetuate those values once they, quote, become recognized as values, recognized as part of our culture, recognized as part of who we are, and that we use education to protect these values, to promote these values. We use education in the form of knowledge to enhance the acceptance of our values. Now, there's a opposite of this. We can use education and, quote, knowledge to try and bring about a discrediting of the established values, the discrediting of the virtues, the discrediting of the culture, the structure, and et cetera. So in this case, education can be a two-way street, double-edged sword, so to speak. Of course, you already know that the transmission of culture from one generation to the next. Education again. No, it's education is a creator, the generator, and the director of all our social change. What I'm saying is that education is the way in which we preserve, the way in which we consolidate, the way in which we enforce our culture, the transmission of culture from one generation to the next. Here's a big one, or say another big one. Education is a weapon of democracy. It's probably, quote, the weapon of democracy. First of all, it helps stabilize democratic values. Once we, quote, identify and define what democratic values are, then we use education as a weapon to transmit, to preserve, to maintain, and perpetuate. It can help in developing democratic values, attitudes for a better way of living. Our democratic values, such as liberty, equality, equity, fraternity, justice, tolerance, mutual respect of others, feeling of community, community as a community of humanity. These are values. These values help bring about social formation, help maintain that formation, but also education can help in bringing about a change in these values. Think about your own growth and development from when you were born, more or less, to where you are today. And I'm assuming everyone is at least 20s, 30s, 40s, and that you've got a long history here that you can go back and take a look at your values and how your values were formed, shaped, but also how they were changed when you were in college, maybe high school, or even before or after. And you'll trace it back to education. Also, education can help in the process of national integration. It can be extremely powerful in bringing a national identity. Socialization, folks. You can call it socialization, acculturation. You can call it in terms of propaganda, attempt to shape people's minds. Education can do that as well. Education, and of course, you know, education and economic prosperity. It, in today's world, back 50, 200, 300 years ago, you didn't need a formal education. Everyone was basically involved in the agricultural industry, having their own farms or being laborers for someone else. that it was an agricultural thing, and you learn it from childhood. And I used, I think, even last week, Dewey's example in terms of experiential education, where you learn by doing, what we call active learning today. This is all education. But today, the economic prosperity is the education that is being pushed on this generation and possibly going forward, all the other generations to come. Education and economics, jobs, have become mirror images of each other. We don't use or see education or the value of education in helping bring about a well-rounded individual, human or individual well-being. We don't see education as something that we need, we being the nation, invest in, and the arts, the humanities, even history, social studies courses. It's now education for economic prosperity. Lastly, national development and social order. The argument I'm making here is that education is fundamental basis of our national development. Education is powerful instrument of economic, political, cultural, scientific, and social change. This is a national thing. Education is instrumental in creating our social order, and the values upon which that order is founded, like freedom, social justice, equality, equity. So, yes, education can, in this argument, be the transcending experience to bringing about social change. Remember what I said. Almost everything I said could also be used as the argument that education can't, or education role should be, the maintenance, perpetuation of the status quo. But here we're talking about social change. Teachers, educators, our role. Question, should we even have a role in seeking to bring about, facilitate social change through education? Or should our role as educators be, we go into the classroom and with our scripted lessons today, we perpetuate the economic status quo, the political status quo. We change history to reflect that the status quo as it is today was the status quo as it has always been and should remain, so that the question of can educators play a role in helping bring about social change, and the related question, should educators play a role? You know where I come on this issue. Because if you've been here any length of time, you know that I believe that educators could be the most important individuals in bringing about positive social change. At the micro level, the classroom, the school, all the way up to the nation. And when I have talked in the past about dare the schools build a new social order, that's what I've been saying. When I talked about the teacher of the 21st century, what that teacher needs to look like, that's what I'm talking about now in terms of social change. So, I'm running out of time here, so I'll speed it up a little bit to just say that teachers are the central figures in formal education. And as such, they can be the most effective agent of social change. I believe that teachers should know well the needs of society, the nature and direction of social change. Let me say that differently. I'm saying that teachers, we should be the first to recognize, identify, and to promote we have problems. We have problems in education, we have problems in our neighborhood, we have problems in our city, problems in our state, problems in our country. These are the problems, and we should be able to help work towards solutions. I can stop talking right now because I pretty much have said everything that I need to say here about the role of teachers as central figures in the informal education and as effective agents of social change. Yes, I believe teachers, we could be, should be involved in this conversation, in this movement, especially in a democratic society, a society where, quote, participatory democracy is valued, teachers should, can act as agents of social change. And as I said 1 or 2 weeks ago when I talked about teachers in the 21st century, we need a new model of our teachers because, as I said previously, teachers haven't been trained to be intellectuals. Actually, to be professionals, I talked about semi-professionals, that teachers, when their preparation, when they go to their teacher's prep program, they're trained to go into the classroom and to maintain and perpetuate the status quo, not to go in and analyze the situation, analyze what they're doing, what their curriculum is doing, what their pedagogy is doing, and how it may contribute to the problems that come into the school every day in the form of each of the various students that come in. To look at these students as individuals and to see if a student is having, quote, a bad day and hence not doing well on today's work and yesterday's work and tomorrow's work. That what's the reason for that? What did a kid bring into school that day, that week, that incident that possibly contributed to the poor performance or the acting out in school. We're not trained for that. So I'm saying the 21st century teacher first must, there must be a different model, a model that would train teachers to value the embodiment of democratic values, participation, participatory democracy, the humanistic aspect of educating people, as opposed to the skill and drill approach that we do now, and some of the skills, the values, the competencies that I believe teachers of the 21st century need. And for those of you who know me, you'll recognize this. Fidelity to critical inquiry and scientific method. Teachers, we need to be better educated on a broader set of skills and competency than just the curriculum and pedagogy, classroom management. Values and attitudes of respect for individual differences and a disposition towards social change and transformation, that your teaching should be, if nothing else, a transformation experience for your students. That's huge, and I'm going to talk about that probably the next show. Also, the competency, be competent and skill. The teacher is a leader of young people, leader of the next generation. You have to be competent. You have to be skilled, way beyond what we have done in terms of teacher prep of the last 100 years or so. Classroom, you have to build a classroom, a psychological climate in your classroom and your school that is welcoming to the student. Meet and greet the student where they are and then help them get to where they need to be over time. Teachers, I think we should play to help facilitate positive social change. And we can call it from a progressive social change, like the Dewey era. There's so much here that I could talk about. We should foster the scientific attitude among our students. In other words, foster the sense and the need for each of our students to be Sherlock Holmes, a sense of inquiry, and the skills to be the inquirer, or in this case, actually a researcher, which means you need to know that those set of skills yourself. You need to have not just a classroom outlook, a school outlook, but a national outlook. You know, pupils and community-centered education. In other words, pupil-centered, community-centered education outlook on for a local as well as a national way. You should help in removing obstacles to a quality, equitable education for your students and for all of society. And I can go further, but the bottom line is that, yes, teachers, I believe we can play a major role in bringing about positive social change. So So the answer to the question, my answer is yes. Education and educators can help facilitate social change, positive social change. We haven't done a good job at it, and it may be too late, but we certainly can. My time is up. I'm going to have to say goodbye. I will continue with this probably next week, but a different aspect of it, probably around the notion of engagement. That is the buzzword right now, is engagement. We're not engaging our students. The teachers themselves are not engaged in the learning process, the transmission of knowledge. Communities need to be engaged. Everyone needs to be engaged. So I'm going to talk at length about this engagement phenomena. It's been around a long time, but now it's critical and at the forefront. So with that, thanks for being here. Have a good rest of this Sunday, and we will meet you back here next week.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.